Of your weakness, there is indeed nothing to fear.
don't have to believe the ideas. The only guidelines, of course, you don't have to believe the ideas. Some of the ideas may be startling. You don't need to accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. 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 Some of the ideas you may, what did I say? Some of the ideas you may actively, something like, you know, hell no. You know, little stuff like that. You know, some little resistance coming down. You need not, none of this will matter or decrease their effectiveness. I don't know how to break it to you, but your beliefs do not change the truth. Your beliefs just change your perception of reality. It doesn't change reality. So the truth is true whether you believe it or not. Yeah, it's something, at least that gives me something I can count on.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that the truth doesn't change just because my beliefs change. Because the truth is, you are loved and that's all you deserve, and you don't want anything to change that law. You are not being asked to judge the ideas at all, so if you're here to judge me, I'll turn my back so you can leave. I don't even know who you are. I don't need the judging. Truth doesn't need the judging. Then it says it's using the ideas that will show you that they're true. So if you apply the truth in your life, you'll see that the truth works. And it is working in my life. It's at an unbelievable level, at a very powerful level.
A lot of love. A lot of love.
So it's using the ideas that will show you that they're true, and we are entitled to miracles means we are entitled to love. The section I'm going to cover today is the section that you got the text called The Responsibility for Sight, which is on page 448. I have four loaner copies up here that you can use today if someone wants to use one. Testing. Don't let the terminology of the course throw you. Don't let the Christian terminology throw you. It's just talking about love or fear. That's all it's talking about. And this section is called The Responsibility for Sight, and it's a section of the Course in Miracles that really kind of blows people's minds in terms of how willing they are to accept responsibility for sight. So I'll go through the paragraph, and then we'll go through the paragraph. Okay? We have repeated how little is asked of you to learn this course. It's the same small willingness you need to have your whole relationship transformed to joy. It's the little gift you give to the Holy Spirit, which is your loving right mind. That's the Course in Miracles definition of Holy Spirit. Your loving right mind. The little gift you offer to the loving right mind, for which the loving right mind, the Holy Spirit, gives you everything. The very little on which salvation, which the Course defines as right-mindedness, rests, which is simply the tiny change of mind by which the crucifixion is changed to resurrection, which is the small, tiny change of mind by which fear is changed to love. That's all it's saying. So there's only one little thing that we need to do in order to have all our crucifixion changed to the resurrection. And he says, and being true is so simple that it can't fail to be completely understood, rejected, yes, but not ambiguous. Yeah, you can understand something and still reject it. You can see what something is saying and you can still reject it. So the Course in Miracles is saying that you can reject it, but you will understand what you're rejecting. And it says, if you choose against it now, it will not be because it's obscure, but rather that this little cost, which you're being asked for today, seemed, in your judgment,
to be too much to pay for peace. So there's a way to have peace, but we're going to be told, and we'll see how we feel about it. Okay? So the Course in Miracles says, this is the only thing you need to do for vision. This is the only thing you need to do for happiness. This is the only thing you need to do for release from pain and your complete escape from sin, which the Course defines as attack. All to be given you, say only this, say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation, which is right-mindedness, lies. In this statement, so let's go back to basics. Thought is creative, our consciousness determines our reality, and so therefore what we need are thoughts that produce a loving, peaceful, abundant, healing reality.
Yes.
Right? So what the Course is about to give us is a thought that will transform the mind if it's really used all the time.
Yeah.
So there are two ways to get at this.
Okay.
You can dip the water out of the tub one teaspoon at a time. Dip it out. I'm going to dip it in my relationship pool and try to release that. And I'm going to dip a little bit in my financial stuff and try to release that. And then I'm going to try to dip a little bit into what happened when I was a child and try to release that. Or you could pull the plug in the bathtub and let it all go down the drain. Right?
Right.
Okay, the Course in Miracles is pulling the plug. So therefore, a lot of the things that the Course in Miracles says, the average person doesn't relate to it as being the problem. Because what we immediately think the problem is actually what we've made up to hide the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we feel so free to tell people really quick what we're upset about, because we're never upset for the reason we think.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what we tell ourselves to keep from having to dig into the deeper issues that are going on. So this is a thought that pulls the plug, and this is a thought that you probably feel some resistance to, some of you, I don't know. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me I ask for and receive as I have asked. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me I ask for and receive as I have asked. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive, and I have asked. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive, and I have asked. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Would you say that again? I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, Remember, the way you interpret and describe your reality to someone, the way you describe what's going on in your life, is an indication of your level of consciousness. So you can talk all the true stuff in the world, but if your conversation is victim, that's your level of consciousness. You know what I mean? It's like we can quote the truth, but when you sit down with your friends and the people that are close to you, and then you find yourself talking about what your boss did to you, what your mama did to you, what your boyfriend did to you, what your sister did to you, how the economy is affecting what's going on with you. All of those things show you that your level of consciousness is still at the level of consciousness where you think you're just a separate body on your own in the world that's a victim of things greater than you. And that you haven't owned your spiritual power and your connection to the source and your ability to be a creator. So it's not so much what you tell yourself, it's what you're telling others. That's describing a lot about who you are. How do you define your experience? What kind of interpretations are you using when you call in what you call your regular conversation? That's your level of consciousness, and then that determines what you receive. Now, that statement, I am responsible for what I see. I've had more people over the years hear that statement, and it brings up, this whole thing brings up a lot of resistance for some people. Just tell anybody feel any resistance? Yeah. Everybody raise your hand.
At some level, about some of that, you know, if everybody accepted completely that they were responsible for the experience, then you would have no conflict in your life right now. So to say you accept this, but you think you have any areas that you feel in a lack of peace in, means you're deceiving yourself. Yeah, if you say that you take complete responsibility for the way that you experience your life, but at the same time say that you are a victim of circumstances and you are mad about what somebody else has done to you, or you're feeling like you're a victim of circumstance and your life could be better, but you don't know what you could do about it, then the truth is you're saying you are responsible, but you don't really believe you are responsible. It's like one of those things where we can recite the truth and we think that's the same as actualizing it. And if you read a lot of books, then you have a really cool spiritual ego that's full of a lot of information. And the thing about it is, all of this stuff that you read and study, if you don't use it, then the part of you that doesn't love you uses it against you. And then you're always beating yourself up for not living up to your idealized standards and your idealized self, and therefore keeping yourself in fear and conflict. So it's almost better not to study all this stuff if it's just going to be another intellectual exercise and just something in your mind, because it's going to become a burden. Because you're going to be comparing your actions to what you can study.
Wow.
And then making yourself feel more fearful and more separate. And another thing, too, to keep in mind is that truth is instant. Everything that's real, you can have it now. Everything is real, you can have it now. Anything that's an illusion or a fantasy, it's going to take time.
But what's real is now. Love is now. We are now. Our unity is now. Our mind is now. The power of our thought is now. So everything else is a fantasy. Something that we made up that we think is going to bring us the joy that we could choose to see inside of ourselves that has nothing to do with external or outside circumstances at all. So when we hear stuff like, I am responsible for what I see.
I'm going to write this down because it's very important. I am responsible for what I see. And you can just add under that feel, too.
Yeah.
Okay?
I am responsible for what I see and feel.
So that doesn't mean you're responsible for my car having a flat tire. It doesn't mean you're responsible for all the physical things that are happening in this outer physical world, which is the way some people interpret that.
Yeah.
I am responsible for what my sister's going through. I'm responsible. No. That's not what we're saying at all. At all. I am responsible for what I see means I am responsible for what I see.
Love or fear.
I am responsible for what I see.
Peace. Or conflict.
I am responsible for what I see.
Joy or sadness.
I am responsible for what I see.
Lack or abundance. I am responsible for what I see.
Yeah.
See, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm responsible for how
I see it.
So you can substitute how for what, and it may even make even more sense to you. I am responsible for how I see. I am responsible for what. Like when I look out at you, I'm responsible for what I'm seeing. It's my interpretations of this moment that's determining what I'm seeing in this moment. And what I see is love, because that's the meaning you have to me. You follow me?
Yeah.
So you're responsible whether or not you see peace or conflict, jealousy or peace. You're the one that's giving yourself the interpretations and the meanings about that situation that's determining your feeling. So there's never a direct connection with anybody in front of you, in a way. At a perceptual level, between the two of us, is my beliefs and my perceptions are between us. First, I see my beliefs about you. I see what I'm telling myself about you. When you look at me, you're looking at what you're telling yourself about me based on your past experiences. So we're really not seeing anybody directly. We're seeing them through our beliefs and our interpretations. Now, when you completely believe something, a strange thing happens to a belief when you completely believe it. When you completely believe a belief,
the belief becomes invisible.
It becomes the perspective through which you look out upon your world, and it becomes so natural to you that you no longer see that you're looking through your belief anymore, and you'll say stuff like, that's just the way it is. I know my dad and them don't appreciate me. That's just the way it is. Whenever you do that kind of thing, that's just the way it is. That's an invisible belief. It's one that you have accepted to such an extent that now you don't even doubt that it's there, but it's determining your whole experience. All right. It's sort of like if I was in a jail cell, and this is a bar and this is a bar, right? The closer I get to the bar, I can't see it, but I'm still in jail. I still couldn't get out. So the closer you get to your belief, the more you believe it, the more you accept it, the more you think it's that way, the more invisible it becomes to you. And so the way you get in touch with an invisible belief is by the way you feel and your experience of your experience. You work back from the effect to the cause. So you can tell yourself anything, but if your feelings are dissatisfaction and your feelings are fear and your feelings are full of conflict, then you know you have conflict and fearful beliefs. And you're responsible for those beliefs. You're responsible for the way you see. You're responsible for what you're seeing in your mind. All right? Everybody with me on that? Okay, so everybody has their own interpretation of reality, and people identify with their belief system. So when you disagree or oppose a person's belief system, a part of them experiences it as an attack upon them because they identify with it. That's why somebody says, oh, the Course in Miracles, if you're really into the Course, and someone says, the Course in Miracles, that's just a bunch of crap. Well, then a little part of you, a twinge. You know, whatever your thing is, somebody says, oh, I don't believe in that. You go, ugh. That's because a part of us identifies with our beliefs. So everybody's got their interpretation and everybody's got their perception. Everybody's got one. It really doesn't matter because they're going to live in the world of their own perception. So you just need to determine what kind of meanings you want to give to your experience because you're going to live inside of that. Right?
Right.
So therefore, what we need is a new interpretation that will free us from fear and conflict and pain. And the Course in Miracles is just another way to get some new interpretations that will transform your physical reality. That's why I said at the very beginning, there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Okay, that's an idea I want to manifest, that there's nothing to fear. You know, I want to manifest the idea that I have some power in my experience. I am responsible for how I see things. I am responsible for what I see, love or fear. And I'm not responsible for what you see. You're responsible for what you see. And I know that your world is the way you see things, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's true for me. So when I'm satisfied and peaceful with myself, I'm listening to everybody around me, I'm open to what they're saying, but in the end, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because then I'm being authentic, then I'm accepting myself for who I really am, and then the power of myself can come through because it can't come through when I'm being anybody else. Okay, that's an automatic block on it. And everybody's got their opinion of what's best for you. Because they're trying to convince themselves. The minute they really accept their truth, they feel no need to convince you. Right? So when you don't believe something, you're busy trying to get everybody else to believe. That's why at the very beginning I said to class, you don't need to believe the ideas, you don't need to accept the ideas, and you don't need to welcome the ideas. If you use it, you'll see that it's true. Because it's okay if you do and okay if you don't. If it's not that way, then I wouldn't be giving you a gift and I wouldn't be expressing love to you. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm responsible for the peace I feel. I'm responsible for my interpretation of my reality. I'm responsible for what I see. Everybody clear about that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for what I see. Then the next line says what? I choose the feelings I experience. Okay, I'm looking at you right now. I got a choice. I can look at you and feel separate. I can look at you and feel fear. I can look at you and feel like you're strangers to me. I can look at you and feel like you're bodies. I can look at you and feel like you're not connected to me. I'm choosing how I want to feel by the interpretation that I'm giving to my experience. Same thing again. I choose the feelings I would experience. I got a choice, but I'm going with the sadness. I have a choice, but I'm going with the grievance. I'm having a choice, but I'm going with the anger. Because it's my interpretation of my experience that's determining my emotions. It's the meanings that I've given that's determining my emotions. I've often used the example of if I trip over you and you think I did it on purpose, you could respond with a feeling of anger. Ah! Right? But on the other hand, if you tell me, wow, that was an accident, I really didn't mean to have my foot out in the aisle, I go, oh, okay, we're cool. See, in 5 seconds, I went from total anger to, oh, okay. And you've all done it. Thought something was happening, found out it wasn't the way you thought it was, and immediately changed your emotional response. So if you can do it in one situation, you can do it in any situation. The only difference is how much meaning you've given to that situation determines how fast you can let it go. So if there's a payoff in that feeling, if there's a payoff in that feeling, then I won't let that feeling go. So you can theoretically change any emotional response by giving yourself a new interpretation of what's happening. So whatever's going on in your life right now, if you gave yourself a new interpretation of that experience, your emotional reaction would shift. And you could feel more peace about it. And what's cool about feeling peace and why peace should be the primary goal is because the peace of mind is the condition upon which you can hear your inner guidance, the Holy Spirit, God within you. You can't hear your guidance in a state of fear and conflict. And so therefore, I need to get a quiet mind and a center so I can hear. So the advantage of giving yourself new interpretations so that you can give yourself peace of mind is so you can hear what your own guide that's within you is trying to tell you every moment of the day when you're being given completely accurate, beautiful guidance every second of the day. But we're in a thought system that tells us as much as you can do on your own without going to God, the much as you can do on your own without going to your higher self, the stronger, the better you are. So in most cases, what people are doing, they're trying to just strengthen their ego. I'm going to give my ego so much information, my ego will be able to take care of me. I'm going to give my ego so much training, my ego will be able to take care of my little separated self out here just trying to make it, trying to figure out the unknown. And failing miserably because I don't give myself consistent peace. So this right here is saying, well, how do I get to that point? First of all, the first thing I need to do is recognize that I am responsible for what I'm seeing. I'm choosing the feelings that I'm experiencing. And I'm deciding upon the goal I would achieve. Just like you decided upon the goal of coming here today. You decided on the goal you would achieve. So everything that seems to happen to you, you ask for. What does that mean? Everything that seems to happen to me, whether it's perceptions of fear or perceptions of love, because I got a choice, so I'm asking for it. Because I'm choosing for the way of thinking that produces it. Even though I have a choice, I'm still choosing for the old thought system of blame and victim consciousness and separation. Even though I have a choice, I'm still choosing the old way I used to think instead of the new way that I'm trying to think now. So everything that seems to happen to me, love or fear, I ask for, and of course I receive it as I have asked. Because if I see it that way, I'm going to experience it that way. So then a part of the mind gets depressed and goes, oh my God, what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? And it's not really that complex. What you do is you start asking for something else. You surround yourself with people who focus on something else. You study and read books that focus on something else. You put yourself in loving situations and supportive situations, and you surround yourself with thoughts that reflect what it is you want to now see without being in denial about what you feel and mistake positive thinking for repressing what I feel and pretending that I don't feel it so I can be positive. Because if I don't think only positive thoughts all the time, then all hell's going to break loose. So even though I'm scared and I'm afraid and I got some anger, I'm going to pretend like I don't feel it because if the Lord help me if I actually say, go to hell! You know, because I've got to be positive every friggin' second. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Especially those of us on the path, we turn into new thought police. I mean, a person can't say a damn thing that they want to say without being corrected. So we got to fix them. We got to fix them. I got to take the focus off of me and put it on you so I won't look at my own stuff.
Wow.
That's deep. So the truth is, you look at where you want to go. You're honest with yourself about what you're feeling now. You enfold that feeling. You feel that feeling completely. And you know that feeling is your call for love, your call for help, your call for peace. That's what that unhappy feeling is, and you embrace that, and it will pass through you, and the love and the peace behind it will show right up. If you stop and analyze it, try to figure it out, you're just going to stop it in its movement, and there it is, and you get busy with another unhappy thought that's just come up, so you put that one up on the shelf, and you'll get back to that one later, so it's stuck in you, and then another one comes, well, I'll get back to this thing, so before you know it, you're full of crap. Because I gotta get back to that feeling and figure it out. You know, so I put that feeling up there on the shelf. And then that's the sad one and the fearful one and the angry one and they're all inside of me and I'll get back to them after I get through figuring it out and I'm stuck and that thought determines my experience and now I'm experiencing it because I'm staying focused on it where if I just had felt it, not fought it because it's innocent, it's just a feeling, it would have went through just like the rest of them. I am responsible for what I feel because I have options. I have options. So I am. If I want to stick with my father, didn't take me to the park when I was 7, so I'm screwed up. That's why today I can't get a relationship because of that. That's the same thing. I'm responsible. I'm choosing to focus on thoughts that take me into sadness and fear. In the present moment, which is my point of power. This is your point of power. Every single thing that you could possibly desire is going to come into your experience. It will come into this your experience through you now. And so what we're trying to do is get out of the way, let our greater self function through us, and work what we would perceive to be miracles because it would be so far beyond what we could do on our own that we would know it came from something greater than just our ego. That's what I'm in here to do. You know, Earl Purdy has resigned. as his own teacher. He is not teaching himself. He's letting himself teach him. That's a whole different perspective. I don't need to tell myself nothing. I don't need to give my divine self information about my condition. I need to get out of the way and let the love that I deserve manifest in my life. And I do that by changing how I see things. And I can do that. I can take responsibility for my perception. And I'm here to support the idea that you only deserve love. You only deserve peace. You only deserve safety. You only deserve loving correction when you make a mistake. So if you want to reinforce that idea, if you want to support that idea, if you want to give energy to that idea, that's what I'm about. I could care less about the concepts. It's about the love that matters to me. It's about our unity that matters to me. Can we make a heart contact? It's what matters to me, because love is the only thing that's real, and love is the only thing that matters. The rest of it is folly.
Right on.
It's total folly. I'm telling you. That's it. And at some point, we'll recognize that. And then, at that point, you'll see miracles happening in your life beyond your wildest dreams. And then you don't even have to believe it. I could say I'm responsible for what I see and don't believe it. I could say I choose the feelings I experience and not believe it. I could say I decide upon the goal I will achieve and not believe it. I could say everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked and not believe it. Because the rules in the Course in Miracles say you don't have to believe these ideas. If it's the truth, you're just showing your willingness to join with it just by being willing to say it. It's at some level, you have a little bit of willingness.
Wow.
So you're further along than you ever could dream of. You've already let go of stuff that you think you still need to let go of. You're just being fooled by the after image of what you used to be. Mm-hmm. Still coming up every now and then and fooling you and making you think that's the way you are now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it's not, because all you have to do is look around you and feel and see how you feel things now as compared to how you would have felt things a year ago, and you know you are not the same person you were then. You're just hallucinating.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Just hallucinating. You're still seeing it there every now and then, and it'll come up and fool you every now and then. And sometimes some old jealousies or fears or upsets will come up and make you think you must be still the way you used to be. But it's really something like, you know, it's just sporadic now because you're not consistently that way anymore. It used to be I was mad all the time. I was upset about something all the time. I wish something would change all the time. Well, it's not like that anymore. You know why? Because your mind is changing. And you're allowing those peaceful, loving thoughts, those empowering thoughts to come through you. And they are manifesting more in your life. But you still haven't completely let everything go down the drain. So every now and then, some of that dirt's going to manifest. And you must not be fooled by the after image. Okay. You are entitled to miracles. So let's say that one more time. One more time, insincerely and sincerely. Can you pull that off? All right. I am responsible for what I see. Here we go. Love or fear? I choose the feelings I experience. Love or fear? And I decide upon the goal I would achieve. Love or fear? And everything that seems to happen to me, love or fear, I ask for and receive love or fear as I have asked. And could you acknowledge yourself for being juicy, cute, and open? Appreciate you all. You're too cool. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. And you know what? Now you say, now I'm asking for something different. Now I'm asking for something real. Now I'm asking for the love. And it's going to manifest. The abundance is going to manifest. The peace is going to manifest in my consciousness as much as the other stuff. It's because I'm giving myself something that now the universe itself wants me to have. The universe is on our side. Love is our natural state. There is no enemy out there. So I'm going to stop here, make an announcement, and then I'm going to do a quick review, and then we're going to go back out into the lab. You did not create yourself, 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 you did not create yourself. Breathe, send peace ahead of you. Forget, sign up for the advanced mind training.
Right now.